We have two great passages here that are very appropriate for a first Sunday in the month when we celebrate Holy Communion. The passage from the Gospel of Mark is not Jesus asking someone else a question, which he did in some of the other Gospels, but a scribe who studied the law asking Jesus the question. Now, what we don't appreciate is the cultural history of all of this. The Jews in that day really loved to argue over which law was more important than another law. I mean, they did that just for fun, arguing with one another. You see in movies of people in the Jewish faith how they always have stories and they always have stories with morals. Well, one of the things they did is test one another to see what their answers would be, to get a discussion going. And that's what the scribe was doing that particular day with Jesus. Here was a man who was coming in preaching in a way different from the rabbis in the synagogues. And so they ask him the question, you know, which of the commandments is first? And Jesus gives a two-way response that we all know. You know, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So he answered with two commandments instead of one. Now, we don't appreciate the fact because we know this so well. We've heard it all our lives if we've come to church. But here's a scribe who wanted one definitive answer so you could get a good argument and discussion going. And Jesus answers with two commandments. But the beauty of this passage is that the scribe's response was that Jesus had put two commandments together and shared one central message about love. That was a good thing. That was something that God honored, and that kind of love, rather than focusing on a commandment, but focusing on love as manifesting the presence of God, as something better than burnt offerings and sacrifices. Now that's going a ways for a Jew. Because everything was about ritual. Everything was about what you brought to the altar, what you did in the temple, how you followed the rules. And Jesus didn't follow the rules of the question and the debate. He said, love is the most important thing in life, whether it's towards God or shared among us as human beings. And the scribe marveled and saw what a wonderful thing this was that Jesus was saying, and said, it's better than all of the rituals we have because it's at the heart of life. And then Jesus was able to respond to him and said, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You got the point. It's not all about the rules. It's not all about the commandments. It's not all about the rituals. It's not about the burnt offerings and the sacrifices and the tithings and all of the 631 rules of the Torah. It's really about love. It's really about love. I heard Dallas Willard, a professor at Southern Cal, at my conference a month or so ago out in Nashville, and I bought his book, The Renovation of the Heart. And it's an outstanding book. And it focuses on basically these verses from Scripture. And we need to understand that as we approach the altar today, as we receive this symbol of the sacrifice of Christ given for you and for me. What this love is all about and how it's supposed to work in our lives. If you think of our personhood as kind of like an onion, and they're just different layers of the onion, you know, they're all an onion, and yet they start at a core and grow outward in layers. If you look at a human being, we're talking about at the core of who we are is our spirit. And in Scripture, this is the heart or the will of a human being. That who we are essentially at the core of our being is our heart, our spirit, our will. And if we're going to be the kind of person we need to be, that needs to be totally dedicated to God. And then the layer surrounding the heart, the spirit, the will is the mind, which is both thought and reason and our feelings and emotions. And through the mind, we can understand the heart, and we can understand the Word of God. We can understand other people. We react to them with their feelings. And then through our bodies, we can speak to one another. We can touch. We can reach out. We can move in this wonderful world of ours. And we can be a part of the whole creative process, which is moving out to the body and out to relationships that we have with other people. And all of this is the human soul. It kind of goes against how we fought most of our lives, but as I've said to you, a soul is the whole person, the whole self, made up of our relationships and social functions, our body, our mind, and our spirit. The soul is the whole person that we come to be. But when we come to this altar, we need to come led by our hearts, by our spirits, by our will to be in relationship with this God who loves us so much. You see, a lot of religion can be just relationships, coming because of the people we know and the relationships we want to have in church. And that's a good thing, but it's not enough. And a lot of our lives can involve our body and our activity and our service in the life of the church and our joy in worship and our lifting up hands to God in praise and all kinds of good things. Our greeting one another in the peace, our hugging one another when we're filled with emotion and care for one another. They're good things, but that's not enough. And we can take it another level and say we come to God with our mind. I mean, we think about God. We know it's a right thing. We feel good about what we're doing in our faith, in our worship, in our being in the presence of God. But that is not enough. And so much of faith and people in the life of the church stop at the level of the mind. And every once in a while, we get a glimpse of our spirits. Every once in a while, our will shows us what's really at the core of who we are. And a lot of times, that's not God. When our will exerts itself, when we're not thinking about it, tells us about what's going on in the core of who we are. Not what we think, but when we're not particularly thinking, and those actions and those words that just come out, and if we'd have thought about it, we wouldn't have said or done that. That tells us about the condition of our heart. Come on, let's be serious. We all know when we come to church, we use our mind and our thoughts and our feelings and our bodies to look good and to act good and be good. But what if we're in a situation where something just slips out? Is that something that comes out and is of God or more of this world? Our God is not satisfied with having our mind, our thoughts, and our feelings. God is not satisfied with using our mind and our feelings to control our behavior. God wants to be at the very core of our being. So everything that comes forth from that core, everything that flows out of our heart, our spirit, and our will is of this God of love. And when that love flows out of our spirit, not because our mind says, do the loving thing, but be a loving person, then our thoughts are going to be on the right track. Our emotions are going to be on the right track. Our body is going to do the right things and not be tempted into the wrong. Our relationships are going to be better and healthier, and our soul can rest in peace. Because everything flows forth from the Spirit of God that is within us. The invitation to partake of this Holy Communion is to first of all admit that a lot of what we're doing in our religious life is coming from the second layer out, instead of flowing naturally from the Spirit. And it's saying, Lord, I want you to change that spirit. I want you to change my heart. So when I'm not on guard and something slips out, it's of you, not of this world. So when I'm not concentrating about being a Christian and doing the right thing, that what I do is a loving, caring, sensitive act, not something selfish, mean, or inconsiderate. I want you to so take over my heart and my spirit that everything I do flows from that. Then I'll love you, and I'll love my neighbor, and I'll love the world that you've created for me, because I will be in touch with the most important thing in the universe, your love. It's a mystery. That's what the passage in Hebrews was talking about today. That if ritual and sacrifices for the Jews and for us has any meaning in it at all, what more meaning is there in the fact that Jesus gave his life to teach us about this kind of love? That when we take the cup and the bread, the mystery of how God turns that into the Christ that goes within us, so that same Christ, that love, can flow from us, is the true meaning of all life. He invites you to receive that today, that it might be within your heart, your spirit, and your will for now and forever. Amen.